Hi, welcome to Thomas Anonymous with Tommy Natoli. That's me. I've got a super duper show for you guys today. One of my favorite things about writing my memoir and then doing this podcast is the people I have on the show. I love when I get to have actual people from my stories come onto the show and chat with me. It's kind of been like a Thomas Anonymous staple since we started over a year ago. Yes! Over a year ago, we had the one-year anniversary back in September, and I didn't even remember to say anything about it. I'm such a man. So, happy anniversary, everyone. Happy Thomas Anonymous anniversary. But yeah, since the beginning, I've had some great people on the show that were part of my life, that were part of the story, in the chapters. Wacky Jackie was the first, I think, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, then get your ass back to the beginning and listen to all the chapters. Wacky Jackie's fabulous, and she was like part of my life during the Vag Monologue days, during the Fat Matt days. She gets me. Hi, Wacky Jackie, love you! And if you guys haven't already, go and subscribe to her show on YouTube, Glamour Smashed Face.
Glamour Smashed Face!
And then we also had Kate on the show. She was there for all of my shenanigans in the past. But she was on the show episode 13 and then 17. And then, one of the fan favorites was when I had my ex-lover, ex-girlfriend, ex-fiance, but BFF forever, Willow. Yes, Willow called into the show for, I'm wiping my nose. Episode 18. I'm not sure about that. I think it was 18. But that was a big one people liked hearing, and they didn't expect it, so it was a huge hit. I like to have people on from the stories, from my real life, because number one, it confirms that I did not make this shit up. I got witnesses. And number two, they're all just real people, and I really know them, and that's always just better, I feel like. And, you know, I should, and I might, but I know that I could have, like, other podcasters on. I should be reaching out to, like, other storytelling shows and have them on and, you know, crisscross and all that. And maybe I will, maybe I won't. I don't know. That's what they say you should do. Like, in the podcasting, they're like, you should reach out to other shows. And I'm like, I'm lucky to get my show on. Like, never mind, like, reaching out to others. Love and like to all the other ones. But I just love having regular people on that I know, and it's just like a big bonus when they're from the actual story. Well, with all of that being said, all of that rambling, it leads me to the show today, which I'm super pumped up for, because today I have a triple threat. That's right, triple threat, you guys, because she's an awesome person, she is part of the Thomas Anonymous story, and she's one of my great, wonderful, awesome friends of all time. Today, I'm hanging out with Los Angeles-based comedian Bobby Oliver. But first, you know I have to have a but first. I don't have that much of a, like, monologue today or whatever, but I realize I really didn't have anything to say, and then I was like, oh shit, it's voting next week. Like, it's the election. I think it's next week. Yeah, because it's November this week. It's time to vote, you guys, and I know it's a midterm, and I know probably everyone's saying it, but I feel like it's my civic and podcast responsibility and duty all over your face. It's my responsibility as someone shouting beams of audio out to the world and universe to say, hey, if you're an American and you're 18 and over, you need to go vote. It's your job, okay? You're gonna clock in, you're gonna go fill out your ballot, and then you're gonna clock out. Bam! If you're not into going to the polls, get a mail-in ballot. That's what I do. I started a few years ago. It's freaking amazing. I love it. And it's actually even gotten a lot better with, like, the mail-in. Like, so mail-in ballots used to be a little confusing because you'd get, like, this big packet in the mail, and it was like a matching system. There was, like, a paper and then an answer key and then, like, a car. It was like the Dewey Decimal System library card situation. It was just complicated. You had to, yeah. So now it's much better. Now you get your mail-in ballot, and it's just like a multiple choice. It's like question, pick an answer. Very simple, very great. And the other thing, I don't know about the regular or midterm elections, but I know for the primary, in the primary election, they did not provide postage on the envelope. And I know that because I accidentally didn't vote in the primary because I had my mail-in ballot in my car for like 2 weeks, and I never had a stamp. Anyway, it was drama. I don't think it was 2 weeks. Don't judge me. It was a few days. But long story short, the mail-in ballot process is much better, and I probably didn't need to talk about that for so long. But whatever, go vote. So, let's get into the show, you guys. I'm super excited. There's new stuff in the show. It's exciting. So now when I go or I have a guest in, I have the Thomas Anonymous bulletin board on display for the guest. And that is just like a storyboard for people so they can visually like remember, oh yeah, chapter three, and then they can share any related fun stories they have. Also, I'm trying to incorporate a part of the show where we can play a game and... Well, it's kind of like a The More You Know segment, because, like, I was talking at an open mic the other night about, you know, when we're either on stage or doing a podcast, like, we're representing the community whether we like it or not, and I want to do that in the most appropriate and respectful way, so there are still things that, like, I don't know about, and I have questions about, and I don't know the proper, you know, whatever for whatever. So we're going to come up with some kind of game where we can, like, learn something. And I ideally would like to have, like, a spinning wheel thing, but for now it's like a hat with some paper. So we're going to get there. And also, as you know, we now have a strict truth policy on the show. All guests will swear an oath of truth. However, we forgot to do it today because my guest is my friend, and we just bypassed it because we were just having a conversation. We just jumped right in. We started to dig deep, and, you know, I know Bobby, and I know that she is a truth bearer, and so I don't have to worry about her taking an oath of truth. She's in, you guys. She's in. I've said it before, but this is a storytelling podcast. It's a venue for people to say what happened to them. We cover so much ground in this episode. It's so good. We dig deep, so buckle up, you guys. The time has come. I was lucky enough to find some time that my guest could sit down and hang out with me. We usually hang out after a comedy show or an open mic at her studio in Los Angeles, but... this was a real treat because we got to sit down like real-life people outside a comedy venue. All right, you guys ready for her intro? She's originally from Georgia. She has appeared on ABC, TNN, The Style Network, WeTV, SiriusXM, and has also headlined comedy clubs and colleges across the country. She is the author of the book The Tao of Comedy and is the owner of Tao Comedy Studio in Los Angeles. She has taught thousands of comedians and was called one of the best comics in America by the New York Post. She is hilarious and I love her so much. Buckle up because it's time for me and the one and only Bobby Oliver. Was there any of the earlier chapters, like, things that you had to do too, or that you got forced to do?
First of all, let me say this. I've known you a really long time. How many years? Minimum 10.
10 years, yeah. Yeah.
And so two things. One, I don't like it when you say you dabbled in comedy. Because you're way too funny a comic to sell yourself short like that.
I'm sorry.
So just so your listeners know, you're a true stand-up comic.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
The second thing is, I've known you this long, and I had no idea about so much of this stuff that you went through as a child.
Mm.
And I had a terrible childhood, and you don't talk about your terrible childhood a quarter as much as I do. And it's probably because I never shut up and there's no time for you to talk. But if I had your childhood, I would be just talking about that shit all the time. So there was so much that I didn't know, and I just want so many times in the episode, I wanted to hug you. Mm. I wish I was there with you. So Aww. That I could hug you. And I'm not trying to make it silly or anything. But that just, I really think what you're doing is really important. And I think it's really helping people. And I told Chris today, I said, I don't think I realized. I mean, I understand white privilege at this point. But I don't think I understood gender normative privilege. And I don't just mean heteronormative. But like... I acted like what people thought a girl was supposed to act like. You know, my kid did not. Brandy did not. You know, she was always playing with swords and guns and all. So I didn't have to go through. I got picked on for a lot of shit, but I never had to go through any of that stuff. And you don't realize, wow, I didn't, you know, that's one thing that I have to be thankful for is that that's a whole other level of struggle and abuse that I never even had to think about before.
Yeah, I never even, until recently, kind of put all that together with, like, the gender roles and, like, and how that was a
like a big impact on all of this all of these chapters of this life, I guess. And that was like a huge awakening of like, oh, so it was more like it just all kind of made sense. Like I don't know. It's hard to articulate.
Well, like the talk that your mom had with you in the Mermaids episode.
Oh my God, I know.
It broke my heart. And Chris and I were following each other today to drop the car off for an oil change, which turned into, of course, there's all these problems now with the car that we have to fix. But so I was listening to the episode, and he was in a different car. And as soon as he got in the car, I was like, oh, my God, Tommy's mom, and da-da-da. And he was like, oh, my God, that's so sad. And just the whole, you know, just the idea. I mean, like you said, times have changed. So it's probably not to the extreme. But that just that you felt like you were, adults were mad at you for being who you really are.
Totally. Yeah. I know. Yeah. And I wish, you know, I wish that I was able to like, I don't know, like kind of like not let all that affect me so much. Cause there are people that were like, well, I just acted however and did it, whatever. And
like, I think they say that, but I think on some level they have felt that. I mean,
I don't know how they do that. Cause like, I just wasn't able to, and I'm so like in awe of the more the, you know, I make fun of the gold stars, but like more the people my age that have been, that are quote gold stars and just have been flamboyantly wonderful
their whole life. Or had it, but just.
Yeah. Or maybe they just had better moms and stuff.
Remember, I mean, I think Michelle touched on this too, that when I met you, I didn't know you were gay for like the first at least month. I mean, and then when you finally told me, I encouraged you to come out, right? Mm-hmm. On stage.
Yeah. You said that I should just, you didn't say you should go up and you should come out on stage. You said you should be talking about whatever makes you the most uncomfortable. And if that's what makes you uncomfortable, you should talk about it. Because you also, and you're in chapter 23. I don't name drop you, but I just, because I take the workshop and, I bring that up, how you, like, it was a big part of, like, everything connecting for me.
Well, bitch, you should name drop me.
I do okay. in the post, like, in my, I don't think it's the weed cap, it's just me plugging stuff at the end, but I say your name and I say bobbyoliver.net because I was just improvising and that's all I could remember.
Yeah, that is silly.
But I did send people to you and your place because I wanted to, you know, pimp. But
well, yeah, I mean, I was always about speaking your truth, and that was something that you were out though, right?
No, not really out at that time. And you'll hear at that time I was known as, I could be bi or pan, you know, to cool people. I would tell them, but it was like, I wasn't full out. I used the class as like a way to, like, my dad went to the grad show, and this is the basically chapter 23. He goes to the grad show, and like, I hadn't come out, but like, that was me, you know.
Oh my God.
The show was like me coming out. So.
And you were what, 25?
25, yeah.
See, that makes me so happy.
Oh, yeah.
Because you were so, I mean, to use your word, fabulous. You're so amazing in so many ways. And I didn't really know you that well before you came out. But I imagine you didn't maybe get to be your full self all the time.
Right. It was just like, it was just like you're playing, not a full role, but you're just kind of acting.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, we're all acting. We're all acting like we want to be here. And right. We want to talk to people. And people ask how you're doing. You're like, good.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
You know, and you're not good.
No.
but I'm glad that level of acting. Okay, so I don't know. I'm going to look at this board.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is the board of...
And if I'm doing anything you don't want me to do, just tell me.
No, please. Okay. This is all new. So
I grew up very much in the church. Chapter 1, Jesus Loves Me. Duh. I grew up in the church, Southern Baptist Church. But here's the thing. My grandparents were super religious. My parents weren't. But, like, they would make us go to church every Mother's Day, all of us, you know?
Uh-huh.
I used to have a joke about, you know, my mama had 5 kids. So, she didn't want to get 5 kids ready for church on Sunday.
Yeah.
So, I think we only went to church because there was, on Mother's Day, because there was, like, a reward for most kids at church. But if I had 5 kids, I wouldn't be going anywhere.
Right.
So
your grandparents were, like, the...
Yes, and I had the shame. I had a really heavy, you know, my parents didn't take us to church, but they would say the stuff. And it was always like, girls have to be pure. And if you're not pure, you're damaged. And no one wants damaged goods. And nobody's going to want to marry you. And no, and I had been, you know, raped as a child. So I'm internalizing all this. Like, I'm just damaged. Yeah. So nobody's ever going to, you know.
Right.
And actually, you know, the joke about, you know, God's going to flash your life in the sky like a movie picture.
I love that.
And I'm like, good, Grandmama, maybe God will roll the credits. So I can find out what some of their names were. Well, that was actually a joke about, I mean, we're being real here, right? So I ran away from home when I was 12 years old because my mother faked a phone call to an adoption agency in front of me and led me to believe they were on their way to get me.
Oh, my God.
So I ran away from home. My sister went with me to protect me. They later blamed her. And went to my 19-year-old boyfriend's house.
Oh, my God.
Because when you grow up the way I grew up, you're 12 years old, you have a 19-year-old boyfriend.
Of course.
And no one goes, that seems wrong. No one's like, that doesn't. You know, they were just like, whatever, leave. So wow. He raped me that night, obviously. And when the police picked us up the next day, my aunt said to me, I don't know why I changed it to my grandmama. My aunt said to me, because the joke about my grandmama being on prescriptions, 22 prescriptions, changed to my aunt because my parents didn't want it to be true.
Right.
And so then I made my aunt my grandma. Okay. So anyway, my aunt said everything that happened, when the police picked us up the next morning after I'd run away from home, at 12 years old, I'd been raped. My aunt said, everything that happened to you last night, everything you did, God is going to flash in the sky on Judgment Day. And everyone is going to see it. And so I was like, oh my God, my rape is going to be flashed up in the sky. I internalized that so intensely for so long that it's the thing that led me to eventually rejecting religion altogether.
Uh-huh.
Because I was like, no God would do that. No, God would show somebody's rape in the sky. That's a mean thing, you know?
And why make it your fault? Like, why make it what you did? Like,
right, because, she didn't know I was raped. She just assumed whatever happened, I went along with it.
Got it.
Because I was a floozy.
Right.
Or whatever. Floozy. Do you even know that word?
12-year-old floozy. Right, I
was a 12-year-old floozy. So anyway, yes, religion and the shame part of it, I think, and I know you talk about Bob and being molested, and you know the shame that comes.
Oh, yeah.
And religion is so much kept. The purpose of religion is to keep women down, to keep gay people down, to keep, you know, whoever suppress. You want to point the particular passage at, like a weapon, down. So yeah, fuck religion. fuck God. All right. Should I just keep going? KTB. Yeah. I love the kissing, touching, blowjob.
Kissing, touching,
blowjob. And I love when you had the first kiss with that guy. Was it Blonde Leather?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When you kissed, and it was romantic, and you, was that when you realized you wanted this kind of thing, like a relationship?
I don't know if it was that one. It was one.
That wasn't Blonde Leather.
That was 13.
That was
Rest Up Revelations.
That was the last time.
That was the last time I like hooked up with a stranger on the side of the road type thing. But yeah, this was the first time. This was the guy who was like, who paid for a cab and like, you know, wanted
honest
to put his
to
finger
God,
in my butt.
There are so many times when you were like, and I was like, I'm not going to blow you. I was like, I would be terrified to say I'm not going to blow you at that point.
I know.
Like, I kept thinking something, but I feel like if I said, sorry, I'm not going to blow you, like, they would just get beat up and they'd make me do, you know? Like, say no.
KTB days, I definitely sucked dick that I didn't want to suck. But Rest Stop days, I was feeling like...
Because you were the hot dude.
Empowered.
At the
rest. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you were Mr. Hottie. That's how I am at the skating rink.
I felt like...
Don't even fuck with me at the skating rink. Okay?
I miss the skating rink.
We could go sometime.
We should.
Yeah. I don't remember.
What's your order of operations? Like, kissing?
I mean, kissing, yeah.
Touching?
Yeah. I try to get mine before they get theirs. You know what
Smart.
I mean?
Smart.
Like, I mean, I say that like I'm hooking up with all these people. In the day, before I, you know, put the same dick in my mouth over and over and over.
Yeah,
to,
yeah.
To quote you. I like to get eaten before I blew anybody because they would usually, like, not do it.
Right.
They, and see, you said you didn't like 69. I like 69 because they have to do it as long as you do it. They can't just do some little over shit.
That's smart. That's smart, actually.
And I like doing it. I like blowjobs. So I do it for a while and I do it well. And I think the better you do it, it makes them up their game.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Yeah. Of course, Chris is a fan of doing that and is great at it. So I haven't had to work any strategies on him. I don't even remember what Butch Balls was.
Butch Balls was playing basketball.
To play basketball. Yes. Have we gotten to... Oh, the Scouts on it. Yes, I played basketball with the recreation department. I'm 5'2". They made me play... But not to make me be a particular thing, I think, just to get me the fuck out of the house.
Sure.
My mama signed us up for every free recreation department, every
yeah.
gymnastics, basketball, oh, and every vacation, Bible school camp, anything that got us out of the house.
Yeah.
And yeah, they were drop us off, too. Like you said, they would drop
yeah.
us. Yeah. Yeah, Michelle, by the way, tell Michelle.
I know.
I love you, and when you buy that, when you make that coconut lube, I will buy it. But... When you said there was no drama at your house at Christmas and you got everything you ever wanted, and then you had horses and a pool and all this stuff, I was like, how is it that I like her?
I know, I know.
I can't, I didn't know this about her before. I was like, why did I just immediately not hate her when I met her? So that's a hard thing for me to get to know about her.
Yeah, no,
I feel like I learned that she killed someone or something. Like she was
it's so
no
true.
Drama at Christmas.
It's, yeah,
I can't even. My mama canceled Christmas every year. She was always like Christmas, and that's why I hate Christmas. I feel so much anxiety around Christmas every year. I would want a boombox. One year I remember this very clearly. I remember very little about my childhood, as you know, because I was in a dissociative state. But I wanted a boombox. Okay. Do y'all know what a
boombox is? I know
what a boombox is. Young people know what a boombox is.
Totally.
It plays music.
Yeah. Madonna had one in the Hung Up video.
And what's that movie people always quote, Say Anything or something?
I don't know.
Holds the boombox above his head.
Oh,
I've never seen it,
but
yeah. Okay, so I wanted one of those. It was $50. Oof. My mama said, I cannot buy you a $50 present for Christmas. So then she proceeds to buy me five $10 presents. That I did not want. Five things that
just
I did not
crap.
Want. And I was like, you could have bought me the boombox. She was like, I wanted you to have more than one thing to open for Christmas. And I was like, I wanted to have a boombox. You know? So, like, we grew up, you know, seven people in a two-bedroom, one-bathroom trailer.
Yeah.
My sister and I slept in the laundry room. We had no door
on
our room because it was the laundry room. There was so much drama.
I'd be so pissed about that boombox situation because, like, $50, like, come on.
I was smart. I knew math.
Please.
I was like, this is the same fucking... I called my best friend. I was like, you are never going to believe this shit.
I could have got a boombox.
I could have got a boombox. Okay, self-love. What was that one about?
That's the first time that I masturbated with the condom that I found on the street.
Oh, that is so terrifying to me. I'm such a germaphobe. But it
was
in
new,
a package.
It was new. It was,
but
yeah.
then you kept using
but
it.
But I kept using it is
That's
the gross
why,
part.
I'm surprised you didn't get some kind of like...
I know. I'm
like trench dick. Or something, you know?
I know.
But
I
it
know.
Is... But I can relate to the you thinking you invented it and you thinking if you don't keep doing it this exact way...
Right, I really.
I used to masturbate all the time when I was little. I think it was because I was molested and
right.
stuff when I was young, so it awakens this sexual thing in you. And so I used to always.
Yeah,
well, and my parents were always like, "Get your hand out of your pants! Get your hand out of
yeah,
your pants!"
Yeah, I had a family member who was like that. That would do it in public. I would just do it at night. I just like even way before I came close to like ejaculating, I was like humping the mattress. I was just like really like into the, like my private area, you know.
It's so weird that guys...
I want to put this up so you don't have to hold
sorry.
It.
It's so weird that guys can't come at first.
Oh, yeah.
That you
I know.
Don't have an ejaculate.
But, like, tons of hard-ons. Like, I
yeah,
remember my
dick was...
Yeah,
that's just the weird... It must have... The first time it came out, you must have freaked out.
Yeah, I thought that I was having, like, 12-year-old...
But Scout's Honor. Okay, I went
yeah,
to 4-H
I know
camp.
For sure.
I went to 4-H camp. Worst experience of my life.
What was
of
like?
My life. It was. Okay. Well, part of it was because, well, first of all.
And just to remind people, that's like instead of Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts.
Right. Your friend at the end brought up 4-H.
Yes.
And said it was a rural thing. It is. It's a redneck thing.
Right.
It's like a redneck boys. It's a, there's like, and she brought up FFA, which is Future Farmers of America.
Oh,
and
God.
FHA, which is Future Homemakers of America. Talk about your fucking gender stereotype. So.
Ugh.
Who is, where did the whole idea of camp come from? Like, let's just take all these people at the most sensitive, awkward, and meanest horrible time of their lives,
mm-hmm,
and throw them in this Lord of the Flies unsupervised situation.
Oh my God.
Where they're mostly just alone all the time.
Yeah.
And so I was just brutally bullied all week. I had stress-induced Tourette's when I was little, so I had tics. And I would, like, at that time, I had an eye-blinking tic that I did all the time.
Mm.
I've had various tics. I would make a noise. I'd go, which was just lovely. I had a lot of friends at that time. And so I got picked on. And then also, I got pneumonia the week of at camp somehow. And so I coughed all night, every night, and all of the people in my cabin hated me for it. And the camp people would not let me call my parents to come get me.
Oh, no.
They made me stay, and they made me stay in that cabin and piss people off every single, and it was hell.
Oh, my God.
It was hell.
That
yes
sucks.
Yes.
And you had to ride horses and shit, like, during the day? Oh, okay.
No, it was a poor camp. It wasn't like Michelle's house.
You know. Oh my God. That's so funny.
Yeah, so anyway, 4-H camp blew. It was between 5th and 6th grade, and it was just, it was Lord of the Flies.
What did they make you do? Like,
when... Yeah, I mean, I blocked so much of it out, but it was like you had to have a buddy for everything, and right, I didn't have a buddy.
Oh, God.
So, like, you couldn't go swimming without a buddy, and so I didn't have a buddy.
Couldn't do anything.
Yes. I was like, I can get picked on like this at home, you know?
Oh, my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, it was really awful.
Say My Name was when the guy fucked my thighs.
Okay, yes. I have had a lot of dicks rubbing on up and down my thighs for various reasons.
Yes!
One of them was when I was super young, and the guy didn't know what he was doing, and we didn't know anything about lube. I refuse to even tell you how old I was.
Mm-hmm.
But, he couldn't get it in because it just, you know, and so he just rubbed it on my thigh until he came. And I was like, that was great.
Well, that was nice. So sweet. Yeah.
Maybe he'd eat my pussy. He could have got it in.
I obviously don't have to, but the other new thing I'm making people do is they have to swear in to tell the truth. But we've already talked about so much. I know that that's not an issue here.
Yeah, I don't have a, I don't have a modesty mode.
I know.
Or a lie mode. I mean, I guess I do have a lie mode, but not about shit like this. I mean, especially since you've been so brave and honest through all of this.
And it
has been funny, but it's just been so just poignant and so just, you know, I really think you're healing people. I mean, I hate to be all serious and everything.
No, that's all I want it to be able to do, you know, if someone can...
I just hope a little boy can hear your podcast.
That's all I mean,
I hope a little femboy that everybody's giving shit to...
It's in some shit town, like, just that's just still so in the behind times. Because,
right,
you know, it's out there.
I mean, okay, my kid is... You know, I raised my niece and nephew. My kid is 30. And you know me.
Yeah.
She just came out to me.
That's crazy to me.
So people are still have the mind fuck about, you know. So, yeah. But I hope a little kid is listening to this.
I hope someone
knows
will.
That it gets better.
Yeah.
It gets funnier anyway.
I know. At least laugh about it. Fat Matt.
I never even knew about Fat Matt. I knew those stories about your mom leaving a note on the table.
Yeah.
And she was always like, let's leave in the middle of the night and pretend like it's a game or whatever.
Yeah, like
you know, I knew all that. But honestly, I'm with Michelle. I never really had much of an opinion about your mom before, but now I really don't like her.
Oh, I see.
And after I know I should not blame her because I know how hard it is to take a bunch of... I don't know how hard it is to take a bunch of kids and leave a man and go stay somewhere, but I can imagine how hard and scary it would be.
Yeah.
But the saddest part was when you said, Bob is touching me. And she goes, yeah, I know.
Yeah. She just goes right back to the chair. And I really try to think of, like, her life through her shoes. I mean, she was raised by alcoholics in the 60s. You know, like, so, I mean, she, yes, my mom sucks. But
yeah,
like,
my parents were raised by alcoholics and drug addicts who stole from them and sold their shit to buy alcohol or, like, went to jail for pills.
Yeah.
Her mama went to jail for pills for you know, for faking all these prescriptions.
Oh,
forging,
yeah.
Forging.
Like,
think
you
of the
forging
word. Forging
fraud.
Forging 22 prescriptions, you know. So, yeah, they went through hell. But the thing about Michelle asking if somebody was molested or whatever, it's the percentage of people who go on to molest after being molested is extremely low.
What do you mean? What she said?
She asked if somebody who had molested somebody, if they had, or she asked if Bob had ever, or somebody had,
oh, if someone
molested
Bob, right. I hate
something.
That too, because my whole life I've been terrified of people thinking that.
And I've been terrified, what if I molest someone?
Oh, yeah.
I have no desire to molest someone,
oh,
but
my
you're
God.
Like scared that...
That people will think that, for sure.
But then I heard on SVU, so it must
be
true.
Oh, it's totally true, yeah.
That it's a low percentage of, you know... That
it has to be.
That's such
like,
a misnomer. Yeah.
You would want, and for me, and I'm sure maybe you feel like you want the opposite. Like you want to, you see someone, you want to swoop them up and save them from that situation.
You want to protect
them.
You want to believe
you want
them.
To, like,
yeah.
You want to help with whatever it is. So yeah,
and
I don't
shame them or. Yeah.
I don't like that theory or whatever. But I will tell you one thing that fucked with me with the whole Bob the Diddler thing. Is it for the longest time I didn't know if that's what made me gay or if I was born gay. Like I, you know.
Yeah, I just got in a fight with somebody who wrote some homophobic shit on my page who said, he goes, I've read a lot of stuff and it turns out that people are just gay because they were molested. And I was like, oh my God, that has been debunked so many times from so long ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's part of your internalized homophobia.
Yeah.
Or, you know, your self-hatred that, you know... Like, I thought I was a whore. I thought I was damaged goods. I thought it was my fault.
Right.
That I mean, everyone kept molesting and raping me.
Right.
I must be sending out some sort of rape me signals or something. It's like, oh, no, it turns out you were just unsupervised as a child.
Yeah, yeah.
And predators were like, oh, look, no one's around, you know.
Yeah,
exactly.
Because
poor people have to work all the time.
All the time.
And so they left us with my three older brothers and thought that was a good idea, even though they'd had to call the police on them multiple times for violence against each other.
Yeah.
And that my two older brothers had, like, tortured cats and stuff. They were like, oh, they'll be fine babysitters for the two little girls. And
they're good.
Yeah, they used to tie my brother who just died, they used to tie him to the bed.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Siblings are the worst.
Yes, it's the highest rate of domestic violence is among siblings.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't do that crazy shit, but I did hold a fire poker up to my little sister's throat once. I was mad.
Yeah, y'all sounded like y'all had a lovely relationship. Let me just, all right, so I've made it to 15, and I had no idea that thing about all of your names. And Michael's last name?
My dad's last name? Indorado.
I know, yeah, I thought it was like that or Imperial. I was like, no, that's an actor.
And I did.
So where did Natoli come from?
That's my mom's maiden name. So my maternal grandfather was Thomas Natoli.
So you came by being Italian as fuck, honestly.
Yeah, no matter what, it was going to be
you
super
Italian.
You should Italian
it up. Like, you really got a lot of...
I know, I should super Italian it up.
But I love that you don't have the accent, but you do, you know, have it when you're being your
those
mom
people
or,
yeah
Matt
I can't help
or,
it
yeah.
I have to
yeah I when I talk about them I get more rednecky
and it gives a more authentic, like, you know, of whatever that is of who they are, because like that is just like it just I don't know, it just adds to the flair of their fucking character.
Did they smoke?
No, I'm sure now they don't, but back then, like, everybody smoked then. I remember people smoking in grocery stores.
Yeah.
Like, they had ashtrays, like, at gas stations, like, at the counter to check out. There were just ashtrays, like,
and
right there.
Ashtrays in your car and ashtrays in the airplane seats.
Yes.
My daddy smoked in the trailer and in the car with the windows rolled up.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's why I have asthma. Plus, I've been smoking pot since I was 10 years old. And I smoked cigarettes for, like, 8 years. Let's see if there's anything that stands out to me. Honestly, I've done some really dangerous shit, but that rest stop area thing is really up there.
I can't believe myself. honestly.
That is the kind of stuff you do when you're young, though. If you had said you did that last year, I'd be like, okay, we need to reevaluate where you're going.
We need to
But that's the kind of stupid shit you do before your frontal lobe fully develops.
Yeah, I could not do it. In one of these episodes, I think this one, this was like the return of the break after this summer. This past June, I went to Boston, and I recorded myself at the rest stop. I went to all my old places, and I recorded myself, and it was horrible. Like, it felt, and there were still people. There were still guys there. I did, like, I ghosted one guy because I, like, was sitting there. He looked over, like, it was the old, but, like, I could, like, there was no, even if
you
I wanted to.
You see all the danger in it.
Though. Yeah, my God. And then he was like, oh, let's just, he got out of his car to go, like, meet me in the woods, and I just left. I was like, ah! Because, like, I know.
Because you can see him on SVU being like, well, he met him in the woods.
But, yeah, I can't.
He was asking to be murdered.
There were so many of those. Like, I got in vans. Got in cars and went.
You know how many people's rooms I've been to just because they said, hey, I've got a joint? You know how many people could have lured me to my death over a joint? Yeah. Well, he had a joint, officer. That's why when they're over there, like, why did he go in her room? Why did she go in Mike Tyson's room? Why did she go in Kobe's room? Well, maybe he had a joint. Yeah. They were like, let's go smoke a joint. That's he true. Wasn't like, I got a rape. Do you want to go to my room? I've got a rape. You want a rape?
That's so funny.
But yeah, those are really scary. The one that, but honestly, the mermaid one really. I love the one where you realize you wanted the thing with the guy.
That was the last rest stop.
And the whole story. By the way, I had a rat tail. It was fucking smoking. Okay, so I'm from a really redneck town. My best friend's mama was a hairdresser, and she would do our hair. So she had it colored like red and blonde and all, and then she like shaved it in the back in a stack, and we had a long rat tail, me and my best friend Kelly Hutchison, and we put jewelry in it.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yes, we would put an earring in it and all kind of, and so, and we did that, and I had this long white trench coat.
Oh my God.
That I used to wear that said, like, you know, the inside tags had like fast relief from bad wardrobes or some stupid shit.
Uh-huh.
But my Kelly had one. She continued to grow the rat tail like really long, like really, really long.
Wow.
And these guys at a party attacked her and held her down and cut it off with a pair of scissors.
What?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Is that not? I mean, that's assault.
That's definitely got to be assault.
They held her down and cut and it took her years to grow that thing. And besides, a bunch of guys holding you down, coming at you with a pair of scissors.
Wow. Was that like in front of people?
Yeah, it was at a party. I wasn't there or I would be in jail still.
Because the scissors would have gotten.
I would have fucked up a motherfucker.
Oh, my God.
And, she handled it like it was. And I would be like, she was like, oh, man. I'd be like, you're not mad enough.
Yeah.
This was crazy. This was rapey.
That's super rapey.
You know, to cut your hair without your permission. So anyway, but we thought we were badass.
Wow. Well,
I went through every possible phase. I wasn't just the chick with the, you know, the rat tail.
Yeah.
I looked like, I dressed like Madonna, ninth grade year.
Yes.
And so I wore lace fingerless gloves every day school. Every day.
Oh, God.
I wore one big, long star earring.
Oh.
I wore thing. You know, I'm blonde, so I wore, like, a tie up in my hair.
Like a big bow?
Yeah.
God, yeah, I'm getting wet.
They called me Madonna. That was, like, a nickname some people have for me.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So, then I wanted to be preppy. I mean, I don't remember the order of when.
But you went through
But ninth grade, I know I was Madonna. But then I wanted to be preppy, and so I had, like, duck shoes. Do you know what those are?
I don't know
what
duck shoes are.
I Googled them and showed them to somebody recently, but they're, like, shoes that, like, rich people who have boats wear. Like, there's no reason to wear duck shoes on land.
Yeah,
really.
That would be like an LL Bean jacket.
Right,
I'm from,
it was a very LL Bean looking kind of thing. You know, it had, like, a rubber sole.
Okay, all
and
right.
And then, like, blue. They were blue and... You know, and I don't know if you know what cloisonné beads were, but they were all the shit that you would have a long string gold necklace and you would add these really decorative beads. They're called cloisonné beads. And you know, I'm from a trailer park.
Right.
But I was really fronting. And so this chick one time told me, much later, she was like, oh, I thought you lived in one of those houses on the square with the big columns. So we have plantation houses where I'm from, because Sherman had friends in Atlanta, in Covington. So when he burned Atlanta, he didn't burn Covington. That's why we filmed so much shit there.
Right.
So she thought I lived in one of the plantation houses.
Oh, my.
Because I was so afraid somebody was going to... But everybody, I thought everybody knew. I mean,
yeah,
it's a small town. Certainly everybody at the bus stop knew that I was...
Well, you were selling it, and she was buying it.
Yeah, I was selling it. Maybe she thought I was Madonna, too.
That's so great. Did you tease your hair? Was it like a...
I had perm.
Oh, fuck, yeah. Yes.
So I have super... You can't see me. I have super... If you can't see me. Can you see me? I have super straight hair. Straight blonde hair. So this is like all it does naturally is just...
Right, right. It's like hair.
So I had a perm. I spent a lot of money on perm. And of course I had feathers, at, you know, for a while. The huge feathers. I went to high school 82 to 86.
Oh, my God.
And I was in college 86 to 90.
You could go through some great hair during those years.
I did. I went through every possible hair. Yes. And I also got to see the Purple Rain tour was my first concert. And then I saw Like a Virgin.
Oh!
Yeah, so I had, there was like some real, that was a good time.
That's so authentically... Scenester, retro, hipster.
I saw the Beastie Boys when they were a punk band open up for Madonna.
Oh my God, I knew they opened up for Madonna, but now that you've seen them, what?
I did. And I hated them. And as you know, now they're my favorite band.
Yeah.
But I hated them because I wasn't into punk.
Right, yeah. And
even though I married a punk.
Wow.
But we used to go see Rocky Horror every weekend. All right, so we used to go to the skating rink every weekend when we were kids. Because the same person that owned our trailer park, my daddy wants you to know we didn't live in the trailer park. We owned our own trailer and land. We lived in a trailer next to the trailer park. So I didn't even know that until I was an adult.
Oh my
God.
That
we didn't live in the trailer park.
That's so
weird. My daddy wants you to know. So the people who owned the trailer park owned a skating rink at the end of the trailer park. And so I went skating every weekend. My parents would go to the auction every weekend to buy antique furniture that no one knew what they had, and my parents would buy it for a cheap price, and then they restored antiques. My family restored antiques.
That is so cool.
Yeah, so they'd go to the auction, I'd go skating, and then when I got to high school, instead of going skating every Friday night, we'd go to Atlanta, drive to Atlanta, the Rocky Horror Show at midnight every Friday and Saturday.
Oh my God, you're like becoming more of a hero right now.
And then I started dating this dude who was obsessed with Pink Floyd, and he made me go see the fucking Wall at midnight every fucking weekend.
Every weekend?
And let me tell you something, Rocky Horror is a movie you can go see a bunch of times. The Wall is not. It took me decades to even be able to listen to The Wall after this. This guy was like fucking obsessed with this.
Oh my God, that's horrible. Yeah. But the Rocky Horror Picture Show sounds fabulous.
Yes. I was a huge alcoholic in high school.
Uh-huh.
Which is part of why I don't drink now. But like, you know, I was in rehab / mental hospital when I was 16.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was drinking too much. And I got busted at McDonald's selling drugs to my boss. Because they'd been watching my boss. So, like, I wanted to go see the Go-Go's at Six Flags. And so he wouldn't give me the day off unless I sold him some pot. So I went and got him some pot on the clock and came back and sold it to him. And corporate or whoever had been watching him, and they got caught me up in that.
Oh, God.
And I went to rehab, actually, to keep from getting arrested.
Oh, my God.
At McDonald's.
Oh, my God. Yes, wow. Yes.
And I was in there for months, so people just forgot about it by the time I came out. But I couldn't go see the Go-Go's because someone stole my wallet from the break room at McDonald's.
Fucking McDonald's.
But you know what? I did like working at McDonald's because... So I hated myself so much. I mean, I was the kid who had Tourette's as a kid. You know, I didn't get to go from school to school. Not like it's a privilege, but you go to school with people in kindergarten through 12th grade. You know all the same people.
Yeah.
Right? All the schools are the same people you always know.
Right.
So when I was in kindergarten, I had stress-induced Tourette's. I had tics. I made noises. And I carried, and even through elementary school, I carried a puppet with me.
Oh my God.
An emotional support puppet. My mama wrote a note to the school saying I can take the puppet to school. It's the I'll never forgive her for that. And so I walked around with the puppet going, So.
Oh, God.
Even when I outgrew that and had all this therapy and got on drugs or whatever, when I would say drugs, I don't just mean lithium, I mean like pot.
Mm-hmm.
I was still the chick that used to carry the puppet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I didn't have a lot. I didn't have a lot of friends. I didn't have, except a couple of weird friends. And, you know, I would get a lot of male attention in secret, but never out in the, you know.
In front of people.
Yes. And I was always chubby my whole life. So guys would hit on me all the time, but never in front of anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But when I went to McDonald's, started working at McDonald's, and I started being exposed to all these people who didn't go to school with me. This is going to sound very unfeminist, what I'm about to say. Every guy who came in there and ordered for me hit on me.
Nice.
And it made me realize, hey, I'm not so bad.
Yeah.
You know? And then when I went to rehab, or the mental institution, because of the McDonald's thing and because my mama found some joints in, she was cleaning my room, and she found some joints in the pantaloons of a ceramic doll.
Oh, jeez.
And she found some boots. I was like, you should clean for the CIA. You know? So she was like, you got to go off to this, you know, and McDonald's was on my back. And I was like, okay, I'll go. They convinced me that if I signed myself in, wow, I would only be there for like 2 weeks.
Ha, 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 ha. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, but when I went to rehab, when I went to the mental institution, none of those people knew that I was just dirt poor. And they didn't know I used to carry a puppet around.
Right.
And have Tourette's. So I made a lot of friends there.
You got to like... It was like a fresh start.
Right. It was these people seeing me as I was now with no baggage.
Yes.
So, yeah. So, working at McDonald's and going to rehab. I have jokes about how it was my best year of high school. You know, I was named Miss Bipolar.
Oh, my God.
Twice. Twice. The most likely to succeed in suicide attempts. But I was in there like all of 11th grade almost.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that made me feel, but yeah, I've always had like, I relate so much to the shame aspect of everything that happened to you as a kid, because we were just, people shame kids just way too much for,
yeah,
and they don't realize what it's saying to a kid, you know, like kids take the most innocuous thing and worry about it. I mean, I was born 40 years old. And I was just anxious from the get-go, you know, just anxious as fuck.
Yeah.
From the get-go. Being kidnapped at 5 years old probably did not help that. But yeah. I even, like, one time my daddy said to me, do you know what kudzu is?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so kudzu is this stuff that grows on the side of the road. It looks like ivy.
Okay.
So we were driving down the road one day, and it's everywhere in the South.
Okay.
And my daddy goes, that kudzu is going to take over the world someday. And I was like, what do you mean? And he was like, well, you can't burn it. You can't pull it up. You pull it up, it grows back again. It grows like 4 feet a day. This is true. It grows something like 4 feet a day.
Yeah.
Or two, whatever. And he's just like, this is going to take over the world. And for the longest time, I worried that kudzu is going to take over the world.
See?
Right.
Yes.
So imagine saying stuff to kids like, I wanted a boy. I had a boy. You know, like yeah, your mom did. Or yeah, like, you know, you have to be pure. Or you, no one wants anybody that's not pure. And you're damaged or shameful. Or, but, you know.
All kids have to do is listen. Because we don't work. We don't, I mean, we go to school. But, like, all we have to do is to sit and observe. At least yeah, it was for people like us, I think. And, like, kids take in every little, like, I'm sure you felt... And some people don't get this. Like, you knew. Could you feel like that it cost money for you to exist?
Oh my God, I was reminded that constantly.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have a door on our bedroom, and our bedroom is next to the kitchen. My mom and daddy would sit up at the kitchen table like once a month or whatever and go over bills, and they were always talking about how much money they had in their account and how much they owed, and they always owed more than they had.
Right.
And they always talked about what if we paid this late and what if we only sent this amount then, and maybe we could get, you know, that one you're allowed to, they won't shut it off. So, like, as a kid, I would lay in bed and worry about bills.
Yeah.
And, you know, as an adult, I worry about bills all the time. And I think, okay, this is the bill they won't shut off. This is the thing you get a late fee for. Like, I'm obsessed with bills. Chris never thinks about bills.
Yeah.
Chris never, you know, his parents never worried about, they never talked about paying bills in front of him. They never had a problem paying bills. He just thinks some fairy magically pays all the bills. And it's going to work. You know, I was working on this bit where I was like, I heard these people talk about what they do if they won the lottery. Like, I'd go to the south of France. And I was like, you know, if I won the lottery, like, I just, my dream is to just, like, not know how much my electric bill is off the top of my head. Yeah. You know, can I just let that go?
Yeah.
You know, I don't need to go to France. Can I just not, you know, can I just relax
for
5 fucking minutes? My daddy used to say, money changes people. Money does something to people. I was like, yeah, it relaxes them.
Yeah, exactly.
Something about knowing you can make rent really cheers a person up. I'm thinking about December rent. I'm addicted to ChapStick, so I get you. If you can't find it, I have some Carmex right here.
Oh, it's in this little bag.
I have to know why you have a hat in a bag.
Oh, right. Well, it is, if in case I want to wear a hat, I brought it, but it's in a bag because I'm trying new things with people on the show, and
one of them is to make them wear a stupid hat.
One of them is I would love to have a spin the wheel game. But I don't have a fucking wheel, and I can't. I'm not gonna make a wheel.
Oh, so I could draw stuff out of a
hat. Draw something out of a hat.
That's the best use for a hat.
But I kind of already know what I need us to draw because the game is basically, like I was saying at the mic the other night about, like, you know, if I'm talking about gay stuff, like I'm representing the community, I want to be respectful and do everything the way I'm supposed to. So it's basically every piece has an L, a B, a G, a T, and then like. I'll have some kind of, like, trivia thing that we don't know about lesbian history or gay or whatever. But today, I realized on the way here, we have to pick the I and the A because I don't know what those are.
I just learned 2 days ago what intersex is. One of my students had a talk with me and explained it to me in front of the whole class. And then I didn't believe her. And then she accused me of gaslighting her. And then she Googled it and showed me. And it turns out I was completely wrong. I was completely wrong.
Because I don't even know. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And I think I only know what the A is one of my students has a joke about she's the A.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So the I is intersex.
Yes.
And intersex is like non-binary, non-conform. No.
I thought that too. I thought it meant gender fluid. And it used to mean unisex, remember, back in the day?
Sure, yeah.
Like if a hair salon said intersex, it meant gender.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. But it's not.
It's not. I thought it was. And then a young person corrected the fuck out of me. Uh-oh. Okay, so intersex means it is the new word for people who have both genitals. It's the new word for what we used to say, hermaphrodite. You shouldn't say hermaphrodite anymore.
Got it.
So intersex means that. But I'm like, here's what you people don't understand. There are a lot of words that today mean stuff to y'all that we had a completely different definition for. Okay, what did you learn hotbox was?
Hotbox is when you get high in a car or a closet or like you, that's...
Okay, that is not what I learned. What I learned, and someone else wrote on, when I posted this the other day on Facebook and said that's what they learned too, that hotbox is when, you know, you're sharing a cigarette or a joint and the person before they pass it to you, they hit it so hard that when you put it in your mouth, the filter's hot and it kind of burns your lips a little bit.
I didn't know that had a name.
When I was growing up in the 70s, getting high when I was 10 years old, it was called hotbox. And everybody kept saying, no, it's the car thing. But then somebody posted that, no, that I know it is the thing you know it as.
Interesting.
But they were also from the Southeast.
Well, and here's, I'll say this about hotbox. I'm from the East Coast, Massachusetts. We didn't call it that. That was not, I'd never heard hotbox till I moved to California.
Well, you're wrong about no trampolines on the East Coast, though.
Oh, really?
My cousin across the dirt road from us had a trampoline, and we were on it every day, and it is dangerous. I broke my sister's nose on it. I broke her nose 3 times. One of them was an accident, and that was the first one on a trampoline.
Oh, my God. That's great.
Yes, they are dangerous. So that's why if kids have trampolines now, they have like a complete fence of...
They have the net.
...of padding all around it, and the kids go in there dressed like sumo wrestlers with padding all over their body, probably. we had trampolines, but intersex means a person that has
both
traditionally male and female genitals, both.
Okay.
Yeah. It is a much nicer word than hermaphrodite.
It really
is. It sounds like a Greek goddess, though, doesn't it?
And it's just a mouthful. Like, hermaphrodite just has, like, intersects.
So many words just got such baggage anyway for so long, we might as well have a new word for them.
Yeah, you might as well. Because it's not like people were saying hermaphrodite in a complimentary way to people.
Right, right. And, like, it took me a long... Well, I mean, it's been years since I learned this, but, like, I didn't know you weren't supposed to say tranny. I thought it was just, like, a nickname, you know, an abbreviation. But it has so much baggage from being used in such a negative way for so long.
That's a tough one because, and especially for allies and people in the community, because it was used for so long within each other as like a way to describe, you know, and turns out it was offending people, but you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like not all black people feel comfortable with black people saying the N-word.
Yeah.
I don't usually say the N-word, but somebody reported me on Twitter for using the actual word when I was quoting Papa John, because people are like, he said the N-word. No, he didn't. The N-word sounds like a nice, comfortable, he said nigger.
Right.
On a conference call.
Right.
About pizza.
Right.
Right? You know, doesn't fall out of your mouth unless you had one in the chamber already.
And you're saying what happened. What happened, right.
Because I think we distance ourselves from stuff by making the words too sanitized. But I understand other people's positions. But anyway, so now I say trans now.
Yeah.
And you know what I was thinking about in the shower the other day? All these people who were so anti-trans or whatever, I never hear them say shit about nose jobs.
You know what? I never thought
of that. Or people coloring
their
hair. Uh-huh. Like all these Ivanka worshippers. You ever seen pictures of Ivanka? Oh my God, she was like a troll under a bridge.
Oh yeah.
She had like the biggest nose, you know, and...
I should Google that actually. I haven't seen like a lot of them.
She's frightening. She's completely redone through surgery. And same thing with Melania. She wasn't that pretty before all that surgery.
Oh yeah, she's definitely been...
But yeah, she's got a big honker. But yeah, the people who is fine with her having all that, you know, people having breast implants and all that, they're like, trans, no, oh my God.
Yeah, and I, because I check in every few days, like, I just found out about this whole, like, new thing they're trying to do with, like, banning trans rights or, like, what the fuck ever, like, what?
Or, like, wiping them completely out of existence and refusing to even have, like, a definition.
How is any of that, like...
Meanwhile, I have a niece who... She lives in a very small town. I love her. I hope she never listens to this. I can't imagine her being a fan of mine.
I know her.
But she has breast implants. She has butt implants. Her eyebrows look like... I tweeted, can someone let my niece know we're not... Can someone let my niece's eyebrows know we're not Hispanic? She shaves them off and dries away. So she has all these implants, all the most severe makeup. She sells insurance. I mean, she's like a secretary of insurance.
Oh, my God.
All of us in a tiny little town. Why would you need butt implants? Like, why are you... What is your...
That's crazy.
Yeah. Are you planning to strip next? And she's beautiful.
Mm.
She's beautiful.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so what's it... And do I understand what it feels like to be trans? No, I've never been trans. But why not have some compassion for other people's experiences since it literally does not affect me at all?
Right.
It literally... Like, gay marriage literally had no effect on my marriage at all, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, I have friends who are trans, and it literally is not... has no... negative effect on our relationship. Like, what?
I know. I get jealous of kids because I wish I grew up in this kind of world where these phrases and lingo exists. And I wonder, would I identify as fluid? And then I'm like, well, nothing's stopping you from...
Doing it right now. Right.
You know, but that is such a weird thing for me. Like, that's like a new thing that's like weird because... Because, when I was a kid, like, I hated all the... I didn't think any of that stuff
Like, kids are so aware now. They're so self-aware.
Oh my God,
they're
yeah.
so meta. I know. And they're so like, oh, being awkward right now. Could you imagine being so self-aware? You could be like, okay, I'm awkward. Let me just say I'm awkward and cut the awkwardness. What?
I know. It's crazy.
They're so like fucking Dawson's Creek.
Oh my God, I remember Dawson's Creek. What? What's the A, though?
Asexual.
Oh. And an asexual is someone who doesn't identify not, with any...
Not into sex.
Oh, not into sex. Where is... Which one's the... Is queer... Is that the gender queer?
Queer's kind of a catch-all, I think.
Okay.
Queer just meaning I'm not normative. Whatever.
I could be gay.
Could be gay, bi, straight... Not straight. Gay, bi, gender fluid.
Okay.
See, some of them feel like they mean the same things. Like we're saying the same things over and over.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. That's where I get so confused.
Yeah.
With
the reason I started the LGBT mic is because gender fluid people wanted to come to the women's mic.
Oh, I see. Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't want to be like, if you present feminine, you can come to the women, but if you present masculine, you're just going to make everybody in the women only mic uncomfortable.
It makes the
and
whole.
And I was
point.
Like, that. What does that make me? That makes me some kind of what behind the times. Dickhead?
No, because
I'm like Archie Bunker over here, not wanting.
You're the Archie Bunker of open mics. No, because I can understand how you want to protect that Monday mic, yeah. that women's mic.
Well, this person who was gender fluid came and they. I'm trying to train myself to never say pronouns anymore, but it's just it's a work in progress. So they presented like a lesbian.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, this won't be any, nobody will feel awkward in here. But then like a couple of weeks ago, a trans man came. Trans women were trans inclusive, but a trans man came, went on stage, identified as a man. And so then I said, I think our LGBT mic would be more appropriate for you. Because if you identify as a man, if you're telling us you identify as a man, I don't think the women only mic. And I didn't know how to say that.
Right,
but
yeah.
It's like, I really want to preserve, I want to accept trans women, but I really want to preserve the feeling of
not having
of
men
the
there.
Safe space.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's totally understandable.
And like a literal safe space, because many women have gone on stage and said, and I can't believe this never even occurred to me, honestly, me of all people, but have gone on stage and said, this is the only mic I've ever been to where I can leave my drink and go to the bathroom.
Oh my God.
I never even thought of that.
That's crazy and true.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you guys. Hey, but wait, there's more. Yeah, like on an infomercial. Seriously, next episode, we're going to have part two of my conversation with Bobby Oliver, and we keep digging deep. In the meantime, you guys can find Bobby on Twitter at TheBobbyOliver. You can also check out BobbyOliver.net. And heads up, you guys, Bobby is spelled B-O-B-B-I-E, okay? So don't do the Y, it's B-O-B-B-I-E. And you can find out information about her studio, classes, and book at DaoComedyStudio.com. Dao is spelled with a T, you guys, T-A-O, Dao, DaoComedyStudio.com. Sorry, I stole that commercial. If you guys have a story that you've been dying to share with me, message me on Facebook at The Thomas Anonymous. I'd love to hear from you guys, but I never do, so I won't hold my breath. If you guys want to keep up with me, which you do, thanks for watching, and my life, follow me on Instagram at The Thomas Anonymous. At The Thomas Anonymous. Twitter, I'm at Tommy Natoli or at Holy Natoli, but literally nobody has ever reached out on those, so I don't know why I'm still pimping Twitter. Big thanks to bensound.com for my music. I want to thank me for showing up and still doing a show. Thanks, me. You're welcome, me. Yay, me! And thank you so much for listening. Please, you guys, tell all the cool, awesome, fun people in your life about this show. Tell a friend, tell a family member, send them a link. Stories are fun and sharing is caring, you guys. Okay, bye!